Hello again there, folks. So I've had quite enough of party politics and campaigns and all of the personalities that's been involved in all that over recent weeks, and I thought it was time to make some content with a little bit of meat on it, something a bit more thoughtful to draw a line on and under all of the campaigning and the drama. And I thought I'd take a look at one of my favourite films of all time called Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid by Sam Peckinpah. It's from 1973. Peckinpah's a Dutch of Dutch descent, so you can rest easy there. And he's famous for making The Wild Bunch and A Cross of Iron, which was a bit strange because it sort of it looks at the German army in Russia in the Second World War, but it's very sympathetic and entirely from their point of view, which you don't see very often. And Peckinpah's films are marked by they're very masculine, of white men, obviously. And it's he the running theme throughout his movies is where you've got tough masculine men who want to live. They can't live in an ideal society. They can't live in an idealized world because the world around them is nihilistic. And this is definitely a theme which runs throughout Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. So the film opens in New Mexico with Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. Pat Garrett's played by James Coburn, and Billy the Kid's played by Kris Kristofferson. Pat Garrett's a little bit older than Billy the Kid. And the movie opens with Pat Garrett being shot. Ambushed and riddled with bullets, but we'll come back to that later. And the really it opens for real in New Mexico with Pat Garrett telling Billy the Kid that he's going to leave him and he's become a sheriff here because he was part of the Band of Outlaws, and they go their separate ways. And Pat's sort of pleading with Billy to just run into Mexico for real, and because he's given him a bit of a countdown, and then Billy gets caught and then escapes, and then Pat gets sent after Billy for real. And the move that's in terms of movie plot, that's pretty much it. And the net slowly but surely sort of closes in around Billy the Kid, and eventually Pat hunts him down and then shoots him in the throat as he's unarmed and kills him. And that's kind of the plot, but what's the subplot is something much more poetic and melancholic. And I don't think much of Bob Dylan, but his music sort of adds a nice, sad, poetic touch to the movie itself. But what's really going on in the subtext is that the Old West is dying, and the Wild West is being phased out, and the two characters are on two different sides of the divide there. You've got the younger Billy, who's very wild and wants to run around and sleep under the stars and live a free life, and you've got Pat Garrett, who has now sided with the modern world, which is beginning to encroach on the Old West, and Pat Garrett's aware of it as well. And it's as if in every scene there's Billy the Kid is has another fence to get over. You can gradually see the barbed wire fencing sort of encroaching itself across the Western world as the money men and the landowners gain more and more land, more and more power. And part of that power is that they've bought Pat Garrett, and instead of having a code of honor and a masculine sort of warrior spirit, what comes in more and more is just money, and the money will buy laws. The money will invent the laws and buy up all of the land and buy up all of the people. And there's this sort of, the modern world is arriving, and Pat Garrett has been bought by them to hunt down his old friend. And there's a lot of violence in all of Peckinpah's films, but there's and that definitely is the case in Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, but especially for Pat Garrett, because Pat Garrett's actually more ruthless and stronger and tougher than anyone else in Billy's crew. And so all of the crew are quite rightly terrified of Pat Garrett. But as and Pat Garrett kills a hell of a lot of people in this film as well. But what happens is that because Garrett knows that he's really betraying not just his old friend, but the West in general, the old West in general, he is conscious of his betrayal, and it gnaws away at him throughout this film. He every time Pat shoots somebody, there's this. You can see the way James Coburn has acted the role that there's a little bit of his soul has disappeared, and he was never a particularly cheerful character to begin with, but he's just being hollowed out. Whereas throughout the movie, Billy the Kid remains quite upbeat. He remains quite joyful and enjoying life and to roam free and wild. But slowly but surely, the net is not just of Pat Garrett, but the modern world is catching up to Billy as well. And so it's this sort of tragic depiction of a way of life, or this whole world dying. And then Billy is also conscious of the wider context of it all, so that it's very powerful. And the two of them are on two different sides of the divide. A person that pops up in this, who pops up quite a lot in these kinds of westerns, is a character called John Chisholm, and in this one he represents the landowner and the money man who is coming in to bring civilization to the West, and Pat Garrett works for him and is in cahoots with him. But in this scenario, it's an interesting one because John Wayne played the character of John Chisholm before, and in that one you have John Wayne as the sort of patriarch, and this sort of what we'd normally think of as conservative American way of looking at the world, which was to bring in small businesses. That would be seen as a good thing. It would be a good thing to make laws, and it would be a good thing to sort of purge out the unruly elements. And in this one, which Pat Garrett and Billy Kidd, which is much more reactionary, Chisholm and what Chisholm represents isn't seen in a completely different light, because he and the rest of the sort of cattle barons and the landowners are seen as catalysts which are destroying a whole world, but also just the spirit of man in a way. And it's that way that the modern world encroaches itself and civilizes everything, and what was once the warrior code becomes just laws, and the laws are written by the money men, basically the money lenders, the banks, the cattle barons. The businessman will replace the man wandering alone under the stars at night. And it's quite tragic like that, but it says so much about the modern world, because you can see that the grid of capitalism and corporatism is, this is the first signs of it moving in on the West. And in that way, John Wayne, this is the irony, John Wayne may have well been the sort of patriarch, lording it over and imposing his will on the West. But that did lead in the end to Walmart and the strip mall and 27-inch pizzas, which everybody's getting obese on, and eventually atomization and loneliness and male suicide. There's a touch of the 60s counterculture in here as well. You can look at it from that angle, where because it's 90, this movie was made in 1973, you can look at it where there, if you can give a sort of left-wing look on it, which would be that Billy the Kid is a sort of reacting against the system. But as it turns out, that kind of thinking can only exist within what the modern world has already created. The high capitalism and the corporatism actually produced that counterculture of the 60s and the cultural Marxism which has come after it. Because you can't hardly imagine, for example, the transgender issue, the transgender agenda, surviving in a world of Once Upon a Time in the West, or Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, or John Wayne's westerns for that matter. It's purely a creation of what we see here coming in. And what you see as well is that, or if there are unruly elements which are standing in the way of capitalism and civilization and modernity, then they will be ruthlessly purged and sort of brushed out of the way. And this is what Billy is. This is what Billy the Kid is in this movie, as well as some little Mexican landowners and just the small people in general. They're just there to be brushed aside so that the land can have fences posted all over it, and then rented out, and people can have taxes collected on them, and all of the other signs of the modern world. The Old West is being absorbed in this movie into the wider grid, and what makes the sort of melancholic aspect that runs throughout the movie is that the main characters are aware of it. They do know it, and in the end, of course, Pat Garrett is himself a sort of relic of a bygone age, and that's why at the start of the film we see him being ambushed and shot by the very system which he has sided with. Because at the end of the day, he did just want to have a kind of quiet life and to sit on his porch. That's the Nietzschean last man. That's what he wanted to go towards. But the problem is, it destroyed his soul in the process. And he helped just wipe out an entire way of life in the West. Like I say, which was based on a warrior code and not these sort of bureaucratic laws which are being drafted by men who've never held a gun and never had a gunfight. That's this sort of genuine masculine aspect is what's being cleansed out. A lot of people wouldn't like that. A lot of people would say, well, surely to God, John Wayne was bringing in his sort of patriarch Western of traditional values and sort of gentle conservatives, and John Wayne is the better option here. But yeah, like I said, the problem is that did lead directly to the strip mall, and where everybody's just trapped in the grid, essentially, and there isn't an easy way out, because what you're seeing in Pat Garrett is the Faustian man of the West. He sold his soul for these material possessions, and it's gutted him. He's just this hollow man. And when he does actually shoot Billy, he turns around and there's a mirror there, and he looks at himself in the mirror, and then he shoots the mirror because he can't, as a man, he just can't live with himself because he's conscious of what it is that he's done. So it's an absolutely fascinating film, beautifully shot, and you know, they just don't make movies like this anymore. It's a cliche to say it, but they don't. Firstly, it deals with aspects of manly men. I mean, in this movie, women are kind of relegated into two roles. They're either the good little wife, or they're just whores lying around on bed. Sam Peckinpah doesn't seem to have had very much time at all to create strong and brave, stunning and brave female characters. All of his movies are centered entirely on men, and real men as well, who aren't just cartoon sort of cutouts like what you see in superhero films today. They are real men, and they're conflicted about the world that they live in, which is what makes his movie so great, in my opinion. So I would definitely give that one a watch, and it'll take your mind off all of the doom and gloom and the drama around politics, at least for a couple of hours, and take you off into the Wild West to see what it was like to be a man under the stars on his horse with a little flask of whiskey at his side. Thanks a lot, folks, and I'll see you later.